Welcome back, everybody. It's nice to be inside this week. It's a nice program. We have something split into two. So the first half of the program is actually the bonus, one of the two bonus classes that we add on to the real estate course. And special host we have tonight is Chaim Cohen, the Dean of the Business Halach Institute. He's the Rav of the Ger Bismedish in Flatbush. And Mamash is supposed to have him here to speak to the class. He's going to speak in general. Halachos Negeah to real estate. While we're giving the rest of the courses, mostly is legal and financial and all the other things you have to know before entering the different parts of the real estate fields. There's also, believe it or not, halachos, which you have to know, which may or may not be more important than everything else. So he will be speaking for the first hour. The Rebbe will be speaking for the first hour. In the second hour, we'll be having Ez Shaffrin, a lawyer who works for Madison Title, going over the legal, non-halachic aspects of real estate, which we'll give out a separate handout as when he comes in later. So it's the cover to Reb Chaim.
So what you have in front of you, I see two summaries pertaining one to Halachas Shabbos, the other one to Halachas Regis. I don't know how much versed you are in either of those two. But it might very well be that even if you learn the pertaining Simonim Shulchan Aruch, if it's now in Chesridis in Yerodei, or if it's in the Shabbos, but it's quite possible that you never figured out how this applies to Halacha Lemaaseh, how it could occur in daily life. So I asked Danny before that, what should I speak about? Should I speak about Ribbis or about Shabbos? Both are important, right? From Shabbos being asked, I do have a feeling, interesting enough, that as far as the Lord of Shabbos are concerned, people are more ignorant than even the Lord of Ribbis. So sad, I will still start off just explaining the major principles of Ribbis and how they apply a little bit. And certainly, it's quite advisable that today, as we have Kitzuri Halachos, in Lashon HaKodesh, in English, in any given language almost, I mean, that people speak, that you could just learn it and see how to apply it to Halacha Lemaaseh and have an understanding and grasp of it. That I would very strongly advise it. As far as Ribbis is concerned, so I've been telling the principle of Ribbis, which always has to be remembered. Ribbis pertains to any situation when there's a guarantee on the money invested. Once you have a guarantee on the money invested, you have an issue of ribbis. Why is it so? Although in common language, when you say investment, it might be that people understand it to be guarantee, but halachically speaking, Saladin, once it's guaranteed, it turns from an investment into a loan. What do I mean to say by that? If I give you $100 and I tell you, give me back the $100, in the meantime, profit might be made. The question is, whose money is it? Is it still my money or is it yours money? If it's my money, so my money makes profit. If it's your money makes profit. What turns my money into your money? Once you guarantee me that this money will be returned to me, no ifs and buts, then immediately it turns to be your money, although you don't spell it out. It turns into be your money. And once it's your money, it is a loan, it's a halvo. Halvo is a ribis. So I call it investment. It doesn't matter. I give you $1 million as an investment, but you guarantee me the principal. Wonderful. Once you do that, the principal guarantee, you could call it investment, but halakhically speaking, it's considered a loan. Happens all the time. And then therefore, once that happens, you have no choice but to consider the locket of ribis, whereby you have to turn this this loan back into an investment mitzadadin. In other words, you cannot have it fully guaranteed. This is the principle of Eretz Yisrael. The principle of Eretz Yisrael is that we are saying that the money that is received by the recipient is not guaranteed. However, the conditions of the Eretz Yisrael are of a kind that the return of the principal and of what we call interest is almost certain. I'm saying almost. It might be 99.9 even, but it's not fully guaranteed, because if it would be fully guaranteed, you would have here an issue of alvo which turns it into ribis. So you have to remember that, because in any kind of transaction that you are going to make with anybody, you will need to have at the iskin. Therefore, purchasing a house, real estate, goods, doesn't matter, wherever there is turnover of money guaranteed, you have an issue of ribis. A very common situation, and we speak about it all the time, is when you talk about credit cards. People are la'aleinu nichshonim it all the time, using somebody else's credit card, which is very common. In particular, if you start out in business and you don't have your own credit line, you use the credit line of somebody else. The fellow is very gracious to you. One who owns a credit line is extremely good-hearted and wants to help you to start off your business. So to say, he will not, however, want to suffer any kind of loss. Neither do you want him to cause any kind of loss. Consequently, you tell him, I'm using your credit line, and I will pay you the money that I take from this credit line. What happens here is as follows. He is borrowing money from the bank, and he lends you money. Although you think that you are managing this credit line, but for all practical purposes, what happens here is that he borrowed money from, it's his credit line, so the bank only knows him. As such, he's borrowing money from the bank and lending it to you. And you guarantee to him to pay back. Not only are you going to pay back the principal, but in case that you cannot really pay in time, only the minimum payment, which accrues interest right away, so then you are going to pay interest, although paying it to the bank, but in fact, halakhically speaking, you're paying it to him. It's only that he tells you pay to the bank. So therefore, whenever you take a credit line using somebody else's credit card, and the arrangement, obviously, even without speaking, it's given, is that you guarantee to repay him, by definition, what you are doing is, you are borrowing money, you guaranteed, and therefore you borrowed money, and you guaranteed to pay back to him with interest. Although the interest is being paid to the bank, it's paid to him, because the bank doesn't know you. The bank only knows him. Consequently, if you want this to happen, if you want to work it out, you need a Eretz Yisrael. And that Eretz Yisrael has to be made between him and between you. And there's a particular way how to do this Eretz Yisrael. Whenever you have a shayla, you should ask a person who's competent in those halachas how to write this Eretz Yisrael. And then you could do it. But otherwise, it's a straightforward question of ribis. Not question. It's a transgression of Eretz Yisrael. On a similar note, if you start out in business, many times you don't want to have it on your own name. You're buying a house, and that house is not on your name yet. Again, the same story, taking out a mortgage. The mortgage is not on your name, it's in the name of somebody else. It happens very often. Newlywed people, when they get married, whatever it should be, they're buying a house, they cannot buy it on their own. They have somebody else, father-in-law, nishkafkimina, shver, tata, nishkafkimina, whoever it is. He buys it for you. And he has absolutely no problem even to write what we call a Yiddish Shtar. to say that the house belongs to you, perfect. But if the mortgage is on his name, so then he's borrowing the money, the bank already knows him, and now what happens is he's lending money to you. And if you guarantee your shver, your father, that's the right thing to do, to pay in a timely fashion, you're paying him in a timely fashion ribis, because you borrowed money from him and you're paying him ribis. And again, for this purpose, there's no choice but to write a hefiske. You must write in such a hefiske. In sales of goods and so on and so forth, there are many other questions also, but I understand the main issue is real estate. So you could have also those kind of situations when you give a deposit. Why deposit? If the deposit is not, if the deposit is going, not really being held in escrow. And very often it happens so that the lawyer takes it, or the person, whoever takes it for one party. So then the money which is being taken now, once somebody uses it, and is not using it on behalf of the person who gave it to him, but for his own purpose, it turns into a loan. So therefore, eventually, if it's being used, there's an issue of ribis. Because if you have any kind of benefit from the fact that you take the money, it's ribis. But I mean to say this, fellows, if you buy a house, you go on contract. At the time that you go on contract, the house still belongs to another person. Now, if this happens, if money is being delivered for the purpose for you purchasing the house, and let's say for argument's sake, he lets you now move it into the house, for the meantime that you're moving in the house, although you don't really own the house, and the person who receives the down payment is using the money, it's an issue of ribis. Because you're using his house, although he says, I'm very gracious to you, I let you move into the house even before, or to use the house for whatever purpose it might be, before the balance is being paid and the full title is being transferred, you already have an issue of ribis. Because he, the person who received the deposit, is using the money, it's a loan. The person who moved in now, who is in this case the lender, is already taking advantage of the house, living in somebody else's house, consequently here benefiting from somebody else's money. Okay, so that's just in short on a mamish, on a, how do you say, the tip of the iceberg. I'm just try to explain to you that you should drill into yourselves to remember that whenever you make any kind of a transaction, guarantee of money turns it into a loan, and consequently you have the risk is required, and you don't even dream sometimes that there was a guarantee of money, because it just comes obvious. So that's what it is. So therefore I caution you on this one, please take care of that and be careful about it. I want to speak now of the second part, the Hichas Shabbos. And the reason I want to speak about the Hichas Shabbos, because I find that even people who are really learned, when it comes to it, it's just unbelievable that it doesn't enter their mind that there might be an issue of Shabbos. Let me familiarize you what the issue is. Although it might be obvious to you, it's not so obvious. Now we have a halacha that says, Amir le'akum shvus. You're not permitted to tell a goy to do a melacha on your behalf. Not only are you not permitted, you're not permitted to tell a goy to do a melacha on your behalf. What happens if you hire a goy to make a melacha on your behalf? The poskim must say it's not truth, it's a deraisa. One of the great literature gedolim, Rabban Balkin, buying it for the dova poshut that a maid who you have living in your house, that she, if you tell her to do a melacha on your behalf, or she does it with your agreement or approval, so to say, that in this particular case it's a little deraisa. The truth of the matter is, it's a challenge to Prima Godi. It might be that if Shibru Lavdavki is masking to it, but before you should know, it's Nisha the Poshtezach. Now, furthermore, there is this famous Ramban, where Ramban says that making a memke on Shabbat at Raisha, says, although that making a kinyan, the akroi, meaning, you know, it happens once, to make a kinyan, to buy something on Shabbat, it's only the Rabbonim, because Shema Yichtov maybe will write, but to do business on a steady basis, opening a business on Shabbat is Eishad HaRaisha. There was a great Hungarian Gdol Gadol, some of you certainly heard about in the Beis Yorim, he writes, the Beis Yorim of the greatest Gdolim in Hungary, but Odom Gadol B'Yoyse, he writes that even if your business is being run on Shabbat by Goyim, the same principle of the Ramban applies. The principle of the Ramban is not only when you go and open up a business on Shabbos. Even if you don't open up the business on Shabbos, you're the goy who is your employee. Open up the business on Shabbos, you have an issue here. So this is when you're opening up a business or running a business. The comparable case would be today, for example, a nursing home. A nursing home is running a business on Shabbos. There's nothing to talk about. So because, you know, all the people who are patients are your clients. And they are there to make, you are here doing business with them. So this is in a way, in one of the ways how this could be considered to be Negramem Kram Shabbos. Many people say, Satan's given Negramem Shabbos, but it has, because the whole purpose of the nursing home is for this, in order to make money from what happens over there. Furthermore, if you have tenants in an apartment house, you have tenants in a commercial building, if you have to service them on a steady basis, whatever there might be, emergency, if you have to service them, and it's your employees who are going to do the job, you're the managing person, and you need to know, you need now to see to it that everything should go smooth, that nothing should here be now not being served. You have an issue here, because what happens here is that you tell the goy, do the melach on my behalf on Shabbos. Yes, you are sitting and earning a shear, perfectly fine, but the goy who is hired by you is your poyel, and being that he's your poyel, so therefore now he's doing a melach on Shabbos on your behalf. That's what happens. Now, is this the reise or nishmam is the reise? I will tell you, sicher the posh. Even if you are going to say that this is not considered to be Mekech HaMem Kram Shabbos, maybe yes, maybe not. Let's say for argument's sake it shouldn't be. But you should know that there's a very interesting halach in Hilchos Shabbos. I don't know if you learned once here a day, you didn't learn here a day, but probably you heard there's a concept which is called Marisayim. Marisayim. In your day there's a din of Marisayim. What is it? For example, if you have milk, which looks like real milk, but it's not really milk, it's called aloha shkedim, soy milk, right? Now, are you permitted to use it together with meat? So there might be a shayla of Marisayim. We are not choishish to Marisayim with the rabbonon. Are they asking the Ramon? The Ramon said, if it's only a Rabbonon, you're not choishish to Marisayim. This is your idea. The Shach asks a question, and I don't want to talk here in learning, but I just want to show you the Nekudah here. The Shach asks a question, how could you say that Marisayim with the Rabbonon is mutter? How could you say such a thing? In Hilchos Shabbos, we do know that Chazal prohibited Marisayim. So I'm going to tell you where it is. It happens as follows. What happens in a case when you have a person who is working for you on Shabbos, but he's working in a way which is permissible? And I'm going to tell you in a moment, after we finish that, I'm going to tell you when it's mutter. Mitzadadim it's mutter, when he's not a poet, he's not your worker. But people will have an impression that he is your poet. That's called Marisayim. The people are under the erroneous impression that he is your poet. Then you're not permitted to do it. This is the concept of Marisayim. Now, if you are saying it, Amir le'akum mishrus, telling you going to do a melacha is a shrus of the Rabbanon. How could it be that this Marisayim is also? How could it be? If you tell Marisayim the Rabbanon is mutter, he is telling you going to do a melacha on Shabbos is only the Rabbanon. Shrus. If it's only a shrus, then how could you say that this should be Marisayim on Shabbos should be also? Refekta Shach. That the famous shul of Ramoshe, but he's not the only one to say that, but he is Dr. Levin Baxener. He said in Shabbos there's a country which is called Kovet Shabbos. Kovet Shabbos Adoraisha. Kovet Shabbos Adoraisha. And he said, Maris Ein on Shabbos is a question of Adoraisha. Why? Because of the Kovet Shabbos element. Whenever people are in this other way hampering with Kovet Shabbos, so then you're dealing with Adoraisha to get in. So therefore he said, Maris Ein on Shabbos might be worse than even simply telling you go to Inyan Melocha. Tell them I'm going to do a melacha. But with the ish of Marisayim as well, even if it's no real amir le'akum, we turn around here and turn it to Doraisa. That's the master. In Hebrew you call it afuch alafuch, meaning mamish, it's counterintuitive. If you tell a guy to do a melacha, it's mutter. It's also in the Rabbanu. But if you tell a guy to do a melacha under such in conditions which we tell a din is mutter, it's only a question of Marisayim, then it will be also in a Torah. I'm just explaining to you how complex it is. how complex the whole inyanim are. And very often those inyanim are shyness of maris ayin even, but nevertheless it's awesome. Okay, so now let me tell you the principles upon which you need to remember. And you will have to have a chazor shir on that, I have no doubt about it, right? When is it that you have here an isra, prohibition, telling a goy, and when is there no prohibition to tell a goy? But nevertheless, although there's no real prohibition telling a goy, it's still also because of other reasons. Other reasons that halal prohibits it. Okay. Now, you have always to differentiate, and this halacha that I'm going to tell you now is true, not only in the Shabbat, it's true also when you're talking even about other halachot of Hashem Mishpat. There's a difference between what we call an halacha poel. A poel is a straight, forward worker, a person hired by you, an employee. An employee that you pay by the hour, you could tell him when to come and so on and so forth. For example, if you have a company that you hired for snow removal, they are considered pa'alim. Why are they pa'alim? Because if you tell them the arrangement is when snow reaches a certain height, you have to come. So then you made up with them, regardless when you made it up. It might be you made up before Shabbos, and you told them to do it sometimes in the week. You don't know what the weather prognosis will be when there will be snow. But if there's snow on Shabbos, you have to come, because this is the arrangement. This is the contract. So then, being that they are forced by contractually speaking, they are forced to appear on Shabbos, they are pa'alim. Even if they might be paid by the month or yearly, whatever it should be, not by the hour even. According to many poskim, this is considered to be a poel mamish. In this case, being that they are pa'alim, so you have here now, once they appear, snow removal company, you have your pa'alim working for Yom Shabbos. It's a poel. But then you have somebody else. You have a kaplan, which is called a jobber. A management company, Bederach Klal, is a kaplan. Why? They're not being told when to do it. Bederach Klal. A management company is told to finish off the job, to make it, to have it done, and that's it. They don't have to do it at a particular time. This is usually the range with the management company. So therefore, one could say, being that I didn't tell the management company to do it on Shabbos, so therefore, it should be mutter. However, there are two issues here that we need to consider. One might be Mitzad Ikadin, and one might be Mitzad Marisayin. So I'll tell you what it is. Tzadik Yadin might be very, very as follows. Let's say, for argument's sake, that you have a management company, and that management company arrangement is that if there is a water break, a pipe is breaking, or whenever a toilet or something is going wrong, forgive me the term, right, you have to fix it right away, because otherwise you have issues with the tenants. So then, again, although it's a management company, although so and so and so forth, but they are being here specified contractually to do it on Shabbat. So there again, they are considered pa'alim in that sense. Or, we call it in a different way, we call it Kaviya Menachte B'Shabbos. It doesn't matter what name you give it, but the foyal is also Mitzad Ikar Adin. You cannot do it. So therefore, somebody taking a management company to run on Shabbos, it's a problem. Now, never mind if you have the management company owned by a goy, that you have this issue. But, now, even furthermore, what happens if you are the management company? You are yourself a management company, you own the building, and one way how to make profit is that you are the management company as well. So now, although you tell the super, you know, you do it when you want, but you and he and the lamppost and the Shulchan Aruch and everybody knows that if he's not doing it on Shabbos, then he could find a different job. So then by definition, what you have here is you're telling the super, you better do it on Shabbos. Now, being that for argument's sake, this building belongs to you, and you know, you start it off. You just start it off. The new thing, you just start it off. And therefore, you still have a little building with a few tenants only. Then, for sure, that you're very much interested that it should happen, because it's not a large, large complex, it's almost what that you could forgo one, it doesn't happen. So for sure, you want him to do that. And then, being that the building belongs to you, it's considered what we call in halacha, Beis HaShel Yisrael. In other words, it's like in your own house. It's like in your own house, if you have a maid do a melacha on your behalf, you have to stop her. So here, basically, what you need to have here is, you know, some kind of a device like you have it today, and see at home, if you have some kind of a connection, and see what is the guy doing on Shabbos. Oh, this guy is doing because bishlak with a problem. Okay, forget about the Shabbos. But, you know, you want to know what the guy is doing over there. You know, shouldn't steal. Oi, and Shabbos, mamash, he's fixing fixtures. He's doing it on what? All kind of water break. He's doing it on Shabbos. So it's like in your house, so you would have to stop it. And if you cannot stop it because he's in the Bronx and you are living somewhere else, so suddenly you come and you tell, you know, Jose, remember I told you not to do that. And if you do it again, you are fired. He's going to say, mister, we cannot run a business like this. Or you don't want to run a business. So again, we have here a poil and we have a cabin. The poil you cannot tell straight out, and even a cabin cannot be arranged in a fashion where you could do it on Shabbos. Now, I want to familiarize you with something else. And the reason I'm saying it because I don't really like to do it. It should seem terrible, terrible, terrible. Okay? There are always ways how to do it. Yes, Danny. No, because otherwise you're going to say, why did you bring it back home? You know, the chickens are going to run away. No? Okay. So let me tell you something. And again, this is only this is really only the top of top, so to say. I'm not going to familiarize with everything, but to understand the concept. In halacha, there's a concept of shutfus. Shutfus means partners. There are two kinds of partners. The partners in assets and the partners in revenue. Which means that I'm not a partner with you in the assets, but the revenues that come in, I'm telling you, you take part of the revenues. In halacha, it has a term, it's called oris. Oris, alef reish yud samach. You see, I will tell you, now I'm coming from the angle of Chesh Mishpat. I have a major kasha which I don't have a teretz to. Really, I don't have. If you have a teretz, I'm very happy to hear that. I don't know why the Torah did not prohibit shutfus. I don't know. You're going to ask me, why do I say that? Because one of the most terrible dignitaries that you have is shutfus. Partnership. Out of 10 partnerships, 8 are doomed to fail. If not today, in 10 years. If not in 10 years, in 20 years. If not in the first generation, the second generation. So I don't understand why didn't the Torah prohibit shutfus, leitachlis. Tzorchiyun. Okay. Shem Yorena. But, you see, the second kind of shutfus that I mentioned to you, namely, partners in revenue, that's a different story. Because this is basically, you know, in the concept, in the mind of people, it's not really a partner. If I tell you, I give you $1 million and just run the business and we're going to share revenues, you don't look at him as a partner. In particular, if you have a certain cap put, how much you're going to let him take from the revenue, or some kind of formula that he will not have more than whatever there should be. So then certainly it's only a different way how you structured it that he should have his salary in a nice way. But he's not a partner, he's not a partner in the assets. But in Tzadadin, there is a concept of harisus. In Tzadadin is a concept of shutfus in the revenues. And this already, as far as Shilchus Shabbos is concerned, could make a major difference. How come? So let me tell you. And now, you see what I'm going to tell you now, I don't know if it's going to work in the Bronx with one super. It might not. But there might be a different way to do it. But, let's say that there is a bigger kind of an enterprise. But other sort of enterprise, where this could work. So then what you could do is as follows. You have the person who is really in charge and running the business. And many times you have this case. Because the person is running the business. Or major part of the business. Or together with you. In such a case, if you have this person now employed by turning him to be a part in the revenues, and the part of revenue that he is entitled to will be in such a way that it does not affect your income, and it will be enough to satisfy him to give him an incentive. What incentive is it? The incentive is that all other employees that are there working will not work for you, will work for him. You follow me? Here you have now Mr. John. John is in fact the person that you rely on most in the business. And once you rely on him most in the business, persons, these are to be trustworthy, you tell him, John, till now I paid you excess amount of money, a straight salary, I'm now making you now to be a partner with me in revenues. How much revenue? And you figure out something that makes sense for him to take here another responsibility. What responsibility? That all the employees will be your employees. So he's going to wear two hats. One hat as a part of revenues, and the other one is that the employees are working for him. And once the employees are working for him, not working for you, he could tell them straight out on Shabbat work, but they're not working for you. This is only the tip of the iceberg. In other words, this needs really to restructure, it's worked out. But I'm just telling you, giving you here an example how this could work. May I put you at sleep? I'm sorry.
Why is it not Marisai?
What you say?
Why is it not Marisai?
There's no Marisai. In Shutvis, there's no Marisai. Good question. Because the Poskim say in Shutvis. Poskim say in Shutvis, there's no Marisai. Chazal, they never go to Marisai on Shutvis. I mean, you know, being that he asked this question, I will tell you something which is fascinating. Just to show you how complex those halachas are. What will be in halacha? Like, let's say, for argument's sake, my name is Cohen, Chaim Cohen, right? Sounds Jewish, I guess so, right? Chaim Cohen, sounds Jewish. Let's say, for argument's sake, which is not true, that I would have a major retail business open retail business, major retail business, on Fifth Avenue, for argument's sake. And everybody knows it's a Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem, why? Comes Friday afternoon, I close the shop. It's only open Matzah Shabbos, Sunday. B&H, for example, Mamish the same store. One day, B&H would go, Chaim Cohen goes, and sells the store. Sell my store. To whom do I sell it to? To John Smith, a goy, a real goy. Now, the being that I was a very honest business person all the years, and I made a Kiddush Hashem because everybody wants to deal with me, because everybody knows this person with a beard and pious, Elchit, Mamish, Givaldik. So the goodwill of the business, which is the major value of the business, which is the major value of the business, is Chaim Cohen. Says John Smith, I pay you $10 million for this business. One condition. The name Chaim Cohen stays, and nobody should know about the purchase. Maybe somebody will find out because it was recorded in Milwaukee somewhere in some paper. But people will not know that the business was bought up by some kind of a Gentile, by a goy. And now all of a sudden, Chaim Cohen's store opens up on Shabbos. People say, what happened to Chaim Cohen? Is there a Marisai on that? Well, it should be, but halachic, there's no parasite on that. In Shutzvus and in sale, we don't find it. There's no such halacha. Marisayin is only halal, but only. Yeah, that's exactly. In order that you. Biggest law, that's exactly what it is. Because. I just want to show you a complex of halachic.
You don't
It's nicht gefühlt in ganz. Nothing. Look, I don't want to speak learning now. I'm just showing you that it's not so simple. Those halachas, if you don't really learn them and know them from backwards and forwards, you know, it's what is mutter and what is osha. What you have thought is mitter is osha, what you thought is osha is mitter. Not what it is. Perfect case. Okay? Fine. Now, there's one other thing which I would like really to mention to you. It happened to be that Gadi today, I learned this halach in a different context. I learned it from my chaverim. You see, there's one way that many people use in order to circumvent the issa that we just discussed, having a business running on Shabbos. What do they do? Very simple. It's called, there's one name, Kultata Mechira. You sell the business to the goy for Shabbos, he owns it on Black Stock and Bell. Right? So it's a perfect answer. Mom is the perfect answer, isn't it? It's a perfect answer. So I will tell you what the problem is. Now, but again, in order to be Kishla Oviron, I will just give you for a moment, for 2 minutes, the historic background of it. This concept of selling is in Shulchan Aruch. We find it in Shulchan Aruch. In 2 instances. Right? One instance you have it, but the ikar this happens when you have a person owning a behemoth, an animal, which he uses on Shabbos. And in Shabbos there's an issue of Shita Behemtoi, of Nachama, Melacha says that you are not permitted to do on Shabbos. And therefore, if it happens that this behemoth is active on Shabbos, and maybe there's an issue of Nachama or Shita Behemtoi, so in Shulchan Aruch there is an eitzet to sell it to a goy. Okay, fine. I'm just telling you the background of it. That part of background. But there's an historic background here. Maybe you know about it. About 200 years ago, the Heilige Rishona had to flee from Russia against the Kronos Sefushis. So he crossed illegally the border to Austria, what at that time Austria, the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Now, in order that the Austrian-Hungarian Empire should now extradite him, should not send him back to the Russians, which they demanded. In Shirasha Chatz V'Sholev, it was a Sakon of Sakonas Movis Mamish, was a Pekuach Nevesh Mamish. He needed to turn into a citizen, to become an Austrian citizen. But in order to become an Austrian citizen, he had to have possession of real estate. And the offer that was made to him was to own a little derfale, a little village called Patek. Wonderful. So there were enough people who were willing to put enough money up for this purpose. There was one problem, however, that in Patek itself there was a factory, and that factory had to be working on Shabbos as well. So then the question came up, how do we solve the problem? And the aid that the Chaim Kohn gave you earlier did not work over there, for whatever reason. So the question came up, are you permitted to be matir to sell the business, meaning this factory, for Shabbos? Belong to the goy, some goy over there, to Ivan, some kind of Ivan over there. It became a major controversy between the Poski. Major controversy. Now, there are two Poski which are very much known, a father and a son, who dealt with this shaila. One was the Divrei Chaim, the other one was his son, the Shina Baruch. The Divrei Chaim, there are two tshuvas about it. In one tshuva, he is Meikle, and the other one is Machmir. But he is known to be the Meikle. The one who was Machmir was the Shina Baruch, his son. And there's a famous story, there's an anecdote about it. Namely, that when they were arguing, the father, the Verchaim from the roof, on the roof, told his son, you shouldn't cross my threshold. Is the Heilige Shina Baruch, although he argued his father, so he didn't enter through the door, he entered through the window. It was again the Masha. But he argued his father. What was the question? The question was not only about the vision. The question was also because people could not operate businesses without licenses. And those licenses usually were taverns, accretion. And it had to be open 7 days a week, including Shabbat. So therefore, again, you had this issue where you had to find some solution how you could handle it. So therefore, again, the Etam Re was pulled out here. Maybe you could sell it. You have today a similar situation to nursing homes. You have a similar situation today in stores, retail stores. When people have retail stores, and those retail stores are located in malls. Now in a mall, when you enter a contract in a mall, you have to sign a contract that is open 7 days a week, or Saturday for sure. So contractually, you wouldn't want to do it, but contractually you are bound to open it on Shabbos. So how do you do that? So again, here you have the same story, again with the Etam Re is being pulled out. When you are forced to do it on Shabbos, it's not only because you want to do it. It's not only in a situation while in a real estate where you would say maybe Ahimi Beher. Here you have a much more difficult situation because you are forced to do it on Shabbos Mamish. So there are people who are using this kind of Etam Re, which I'm going to explain to you in a moment how it works. Now, I want to make here a little bit coming back to real estate. In real estate, it's much easier not have to turn altogether to an Isaf et HaMechira. What's the reason? The reason is as follows, because you really gave the way, and in particular if you buy a house in the Bronx, you start off in the Bronx, a little house, 3, 4, 5 tenants, right? Nothing else. And he said earlier, now the super over there, he's going to take care of everything. So what are you doing then? He's working for you on Shabbos. It's in your house. The answer goes as follows. When you write a contract, you put into the contract a little clause, a little condition. Let's say, for argument's sake, the fellow, the tenant, pays $1,000 a month. You write into the contract that part of the $1,000 are going now to hire the super to work for him on Shabbos. Which, what happens now is as follows. Once Shabbos or Yom Tov enters, the super is not your employee now. He is not the employee of the tenant. If the tenant calls him on Shabbos, he's not calling your employee, he is calling his own employee directly. So this is the easiest answer how to avoid all these problems. Because then, when it comes to Shabbos, the tenant will do it. This answer doesn't always work. Why? Because if you're talking about the little building that I told you, you know, Shigoyse Meise, where the tenant doesn't even look, on the small print, it's very easy. You're not fooling him. I mean, he could go to anybody to read it, you know, then he'll learn English, no problem. But if you're talking about major commercial buildings, if you're talking about even apartment buildings where people, before they rent it, have it given to a good lawyer to comb it through every word, then, a red flag comes up and says, why does it say here that on Jewish holidays or something of this sort that he's a tenant, you know? So you could explain to me that no harm, nothing is going to be. Okay, that's not an issue. I'm not saying you cannot do it. Maybe you could do it. Many times when the owner of the building is Jewish and also he's a management company and he has the upper hand because it's difficult to find apartments, so it's the seller's market, so to say, it's the management company's market, the owner's market, so he could put it through, you know, you have leverage on that. But not always can you do it. But this is the M is the easiest thing that you could do. But when it comes to other situations, not always can you do that. In a highly regulated kind of industry like nursing homes and the like, it's not possible to do that. So therefore, the easiest way would be to make Het HaMechira. Het HaMechira, sell it to a goy. Okay, so how are we going to sell it to a goy? So the way I expect Het HaMechira is that the goy gives you a down payment, and the rest of it, let's say the value of the whole building and the business is $10 million, so he gives you a down payment of $100, and the rest, I don't know how much is the rest of I guess it's a major chunk of money, right? And the rest is a loan. Where are you going to pay the loan from? But you just purchased the house. The house itself now turns into a collateral on that money that you owe me. You understand? You don't? Oh, so you're going to real estate. Okay, listen to me. One second. He didn't understand. Did I say you should do it? I'm the last one to tell you to do that. But he wants to understand what is meant to be done. He gives you a down payment. But you know what? Let me explain to you in a real situation. Right? In a real situation. A real situation, let's say, that you're buying a property. Buying a property, you don't have all the money to buy from. But you give a down payment, 10%. The rest, 90%, is a mortgage given to you by the owner, right? The purchase mortgage, IPM. Now, it's a similar principle. But, as he says correctly, it's not real. Here, the same happens. What happens here is he gives $100, the rest is a loan. How is the loan guaranteed? By the property, which happens the same course also in the purchase mortgage, right? The property itself guarantees the mortgage, right? So here's the same, not Mr. Master. But he says, insurance, but thousand things. I do that. It's called Naloche. There's one term for that. Harom. Harom. Now, Harom and Naloche is a major issue. Without obviously, when you talk about the rices, if Harom happens altogether. And as you said earlier, you might deal with the rices, so therefore Harom might, according to many possibly, not even work. Do I say, therefore, you cannot make Heta Bukhur under no conditions or circumstances? I'm not saying anything. But what I do know is, if you go home and you have a Mishnah Berurah at home, I would strongly advise to look in two places in Shulchan Aruch, in the Bir Halacha. One is in the Emes Tzimei Reish Mevov, where he brings this whole issue. And the second one is the Loshon de Chochma Sod of Chai Yodom that he quotes in Simen Reish Samach Vov. Reish Samach Vov, Mamish in the beginning, in the, I think it's in Beis, it's a Lomed Beis on the Mishnah Berurah, right? Over there he writes Mamish, the whole thing, how a Mechirin should work. It has to be real. And it cannot work for Shabbos only. It has to work for the whole time. And it has to be Mamish specified the money. V'chule v'chule. Everything has to be with all the kinyonim, the richtige kinyonim, v'chule v'chule. Something which B'derach Klal and Hefta Mechir doesn't work. Right? So therefore, the issues of this kind have to be taken care of in different ways. And what I'm telling you is, please listen to me. Like a person, when he goes into business, knows that he has to have two professions to help him. One profession is to understand the nature of the business. The second profession is a good lawyer. A good lawyer means not somebody who drafts a contract that just makes it possible that you will come back to him again, but somebody who is going to bear all the problems, more or less, as much possible. But then you need somebody else. Please listen to me. Start out this way. Find the rules. It doesn't have to be us. That's about a Rav who is competent to understand halacha in the dinim of ribis, in the dinim of Shabbos, in whatever halacha there might be, and even if he doesn't have the answer, he's humble enough to research the halacha and to find out what has to be done. Then you're really business. Then you're really doing it correctly, and you're going to see, you're going to save yourself money too. I want to tell you, that's the way I'm going to finish today. One of the Talmidei Baal Shem, from the greatest Talmidim, from the Mevet Shemagid, for the Yid, it's not so known today, his name was Ramosh Ber Ebdom. Ramosh Ber Ebdom was an Ish Kodesh B'Yoysa. He wrote a Sefer called Dvar Moshe. Those who know about him know that he was from the greatest Tzaddikim Ugdoilim of once upon a time. He writes, that money that was done by Yoysha, halachically, in Tzadadin, if you see the two people have a machloket about money, you should know that probably something was wrong with how the money was made. That's what I said. It can't be otherwise. If the money would have been kosher, without any questions, then it could have been that eventually any kind of controversy or argument could have come about. So therefore, the same is true not only when you're talking about kosher money in terms of stealing money from somebody else, even when you're talking transgressions of ribis, transgressions of Shabbos, the same applies as well. Thank you very much.